This was a wonderful morning. 60 people were baptized here. 4 were baptized in Mexico City and in Houston. They also had baptisms. 71 people were baptized there. So in total, 141 people were baptized in Community of Faith this week. Look, I don't know how long you've been with us right here in Community of Faith, but I want to tell you a little about the way we work. And in case you are a newcomer, we worked with a series of messages. There are times that we have a thematic series about marriage, about how to be better parents, or for example, the series we have just finished that was called Encounters with Jesus Christ. There are times that there are more practical series, and there are times that we study the books of the Bible. Today we will start with a very practical series that will help us get back to the basics. And as we saw, we baptized 60 persons this week. And as I told them, that should be the first step that all believers must take to follow Christ. Then we will start following with many other steps, because of what God is expecting of you and me is that we grow spiritually, which means that we start bearing fruit. And when the Bible speaks of bearing fruit, it refers to two things. One, the fruit that occurs in your personal life when you begin to grow in such a way that your spiritual growth is noticed. The way your life changes, the way you live your life, the decisions you make, that is bearing fruit. But aside from that, when your light begins to shine, the light of God is reflected in your face. And that makes other people want what you have, and that makes them want to worship God. And then the kingdom of God grows because more people join the church. And that's another type of bearing fruit. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in a verse that we have studied many times in John 15, told us, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And as long as you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you cannot do anything, and the only way you and I are going to take that fruit is whether we are permanently connected with God." Now, spiritual growth means that there's things that we have to do, and those things are the basics of Christianity. And the saddest thing is that when people have been walking hand in hand with God from some time, those basics seem so basic that we stop doing them, and when we realize it, we're totally disconnected from Him. So that's why today we're starting a new series that, if you noticed in your program, is Spending the Day with God. And we are going to study this in 3 messages, and that means 3 weeks. And what we're going to do is to study how to be deeply connected with God throughout the day. So today's message is focused on us studying how to be connected at the beginning of the day before leaving your house. And next week, we're going to learn how to finish our day, and how to finish connected at the end of the day, and how to prepare ourselves to start another day and be more connected with God. So today we're going to focus on the beginning of the day, and we're going to put ourselves in God's hands as we study this topic. Holy Father, we thank you so much for your love, Lord. I thank you because you have given us one more day to live. A wonderful day that we can use to get to know you better, to get closer to you, to praise you, to give you all of the glory. And I ask, Lord, to prepare our hearts, because I know that you saved us for something that you have planned, for the purposes that each of us have, and that it would be impossible for us to do if we're disconnected from you. Help us throughout this whole series to learn how to hold on to you throughout the day. And today I ask you to help us understand how we should start our day so that we can connect to you and give you glory with everything you do. I ask all these things, Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, look, to begin with, how do we start our day? This varies a lot, and it depends on the type of person we are. We're going to do a quick survey. How many of you are morning people? That is, you get up and you love getting up in the morning and you have a lot of energy and that's the best for you. And by all these things, you come to realize, or you know, that you are a morning person. Okay, that's a good number of people. I am a morning person, but how many of you are rather nocturnal? The type of people that don't believe in God like until 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you work better at night, you think better at night. That's when you work best. So how many of you are nocturnal? Ah, that's very well. See, in our first service, it took the nocturnal people a little bit to realize what we were asking them. So it does not mean that because you are nocturnal, you're a lazy person. No, that's not it. It means that you don't like to get up early. And many people are nocturnal. They get up early out of necessity. The difference is that they don't like to do that. The truth is that none is better than the other, okay? God purposely made us different and for different things, for things that He has planned for us. So if we take a look at the example of our life, that is Jesus Christ, you learn what He did. He covered all of those things. For example, He got up very early in the morning to pray, but He also spent the whole night praying. So Jesus Christ covered the whole spectrum. And so what we're going to talk about today is about affirming what we are, and what we're going to study applies to you no matter what kind of person you are. And in fact, look, I don't know, but I assume that for the people that come into church, there are three different types of person. And think of if any of these types apply to you. So there may be people who wish with all of their heart to have a deep relationship with God, and that's the desire of their heart to have that kind of deep communion with Him. Then there are people that at some point had a very deep relationship with God, and suddenly they begin to feel like in a spiritual desert, especially now with the pandemic. They suddenly felt totally disconnected from God. And then finally, we have people that do not have a relationship with God but are very interested in having it. So if any of these apply to you, please raise your hand. I'm going to tell you one thing that I am convinced of. I am convinced that your life would be dramatically better if before leaving your home, you were in communion with God, that you spent time specifically dedicated to connecting with Him. I will share with you today four actions. And if you carry these four actions out, what it's going to happen is it's going to make you aware of His presence. And you will realize that God is always there. He is always with you. Because there are times when you may not feel His presence, but that doesn't mean that He's not connecting with you, because He is there. So what we're going to study today is a way to try to help you to hold on to God's hand before leaving your house, to make sure you don't leave Him behind, because He doesn't leave you. But how many times have we left Him behind? So we will try to get out of our house holding on to His hand, remembering that apart from Him, we cannot do anything. So we will see about, we will take a look at four actions, and in your program, the first of them says proclaim praises to God. So what do we proclaim? We proclaim praise to God. The first thing we have to do in the morning before anything else is to start praising God. Experts tell us that our first interaction of the day determines to a large extent how the rest of our day will be, your day. That is, if your first interaction is something stressful, a discussion, a negative thought, that somehow determines how your life is going to go that day. Be honest and think about how many of us get up in the morning and the first thing that comes to our head is worries, stress, problems. So that is what's going to fill your head for the rest of the day. Now, what we have to do right from the outset, before anything else, is the first thing that happens in our head must be praising God. And what does it mean to praise God? Praising God is nothing more than recognizing what great, how wonderful God is. Many times people relate praising God, especially in Mexico, with the worship ministry. And what that means is that when people say that they're going to praise God, they sometimes put music to praise God. But remember that praising is a concept, not the medium. Singing is a way of praising God, but you can do that in many ways. If you get up, I mean, not even getting up, but just lying in bed with your eyes closed, that you can praise God like that. And that doesn't mean that you can stay in bed for 5 more minutes and rest a bit more. I'm talking about consciously praising God without moving. So before allowing any other thought to enter your head, praise Him. Be aware of His presence. Be aware of His love for you, the love that He gives to you. Thank Him all of the time. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to get to let me know you more, a little bit more, to get a little closer to you. Thank you for loving me. So that's why we're talking about praising Him, internally exploding with praise before Him. And before you get out of bed. And if you're married, just don't start yelling to your wife. But hey. So if you raised your hand and saying that you were a nocturnal person, this is one of the things that can help you get out and start your day in a positive way. Because many times, nocturnal people, what they do and what they like to do is to start the day in silence, not interacting with many people. And if you interact, you get upset. So you're going to realize how these things are going to start changing you. And it's very ironic, the things like this, because you see that God has special humor with a human being. Generally, God marries nocturnal people with morning people. Have you noticed? So that's the case with Karina and me. I am a morning person. I love mornings. And for me, it's the best thing to get up in the morning. But Karina does not like that. She does not believe in God up until 9:30 in the morning. But that's a reality. We're very different. Listen, now that we baptized in Sunday, we arrived here at 6:15 in the morning, and I was talking to people, and my daughter Katrina, who's totally nocturnal, tells me, "How can you be like that in the morning? You're the only one laughing." I don't know why I'm happy in the mornings, but that's the reality of things. So we're going to see some triggers that can trigger the praise in you. So what I do is this. My favorite meal of the day is breakfast. So when I get up, I know I'm going to have breakfast. I praise His name. I start to imagine what I'm going to have for breakfast. And I thank the Lord because this combination of flavors came from Him. So you think about that, and you know what I'm going to love about breakfast, and that triggers my praise for Him. And so I continue to praise for myself, I thank God for things like that. So you see, if you start thinking of things that you love and things that God created, you're going to start your day well. So maybe for you it's coffee. In my case, it's just the caffeine, not the coffee. But that's something that may trigger your praise. And there's maybe other things that trigger your praise. For example, a worship song. So you can say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful people that you've put around me. Thank you for my family in Christ. Thank you for giving me one more day to learn about things and so I can be grateful for." So you need to praise God for those things. So it's important to put words of praise in our heads, because you do what you do. That's a way to recognize that God is God, and that He's there even before you get out of bed. So what does the Bible tell us in Deuteronomy 4 verse 39? "May you acknowledge and take heart to this day that the Lord is God in the heavens above and over the earth below. There is no other God." So sit down and realize that the Lord God is in heaven and on the earth below, right beside you. Stop, analyze, and realize in your heart that the God of the universe is right there, present with you. And look, we don't praise God because He needs us to praise Him. We praise Him because that is good for your heart. It really changes your heart when you start praising God. And there are people that confuse this with positive thinking, but what we're talking about is awakening your spiritual consciousness. We're not just rational animals, as we were taught in elementary school. At least for me, human beings are not rational animals. You're a spiritual being. So if you want to live your life in a spiritual way, you have to connect it to your spirit. And if you want practical suggestions, I invite you to write on cards verses from the Book of Psalms and have it next to your bed. So when you wake up in the morning and take the first card, you read a psalm and you analyze it and start praising God. For example, Psalm 118 verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So this is the Lord that the Lord has made for us. Let us rejoice and rejoice in Him. God created it. He created it for us so that we could rejoice in Him, not matter what's happening around me. God tells us that you have to rejoice on this day. And just thinking about these things will make you rejoice. And look, I know from personal experience, there are going to be days when you will not feel like doing that. And you know what's the most ironic thing about that? That normally these days are the days that you need it the most, when things look the darkest, when you feel worst, when you need the most to get and connect with God, because that's when you allow Him to work on your heart and lift you up. I can guarantee you one thing. If you start doing this, there are going to be changes in your life, in the way you see the world, in the way that you see yourself, in the way that you see God, in the way that you see people, everything. Everything is going to change. And you need to make the decision to do it, because remember that feelings follow action, not the other way around. That is, if you wait until you feel like doing it, half the time you will not do it. But if you do it, even if you don't feel like it, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, sometimes 30 seconds into the praise, that's it. You will be feeling like doing it more and more. So listen, for example, in me, right now with the pandemic, my routine has changed a lot. I usually wake up at 7:30 in the morning, and at that moment I say, oh, I have to get up and do some exercise. And you know something, by the time you get started, 5 minutes will not have passed, and you'll be happy doing the exercise, because feeling follows action. So you'll have to do it, and you can start tomorrow. You can use the verse that I gave you, and if you look up in your program, I put verses in there for all of this week. I put 6 verses from the Book of Psalms there. The first thing we need to do is to proclaim God's praises. Secondly, feel the warmth of God's love. You need to start your day feeling, knowing that God loves you well. So I don't know what your personality is like. There are people who have thicker skin than other people, but I need to remember that God loves me every day. In fact, I preach it to myself every morning. Preach God's love for me. That's something that we all need, that God loves us just the way we are. This week I read about another rule, the 80-20 rule. Have you heard of it? For example, experts say that for most people, 20% of their activities produce 80% of their results. That's why we are not as effective, because we do not focus on the most important. And this week I read about another 80-20 rule. This one says that 20 people in 100 or 20% people dislike me. Let's hope that this is not very exact, because I know a lot of people, so a lot of people won't like me. And that means that 20% of the people may not like you as well. I mean, there are people around you that somehow would like to see you fail, to hurt you. I think we're all aware of that reality. There are people around us who, although they say beautiful things to us, inside they don't feel exactly like that. And the best way to protect ourselves against that truth is to remember the value we have in the eyes of God. And you know what's interesting? God not only loves you, He likes you. So how many of you have people you love, but you don't like them? Be honest. Do not point to anyone, okay? Just think about the reality of that. God loves you with all of His heart, and He likes you very much. So what do we need to do? Be aware that God really loves us, and you can use a trigger for this, something that reminds of, for example, when I take a bath, I feel the hot water from the shower. I remember the warmth, the love of God. He loves me with all of His heart. I feel the warmth of His love in the shower. So you have to look for triggers. Somehow you have to look for something that you remember, that makes you remember how much God loves us, to remind you of the truth about God in you. You are a creature made in the image and likeness of God. Do you carry traits of His personality in you? He has a purpose for you, and it's very important to him that you live for that purpose, the purpose that Jesus Christ was willing to die for you. You have to see those things in a personal, unambiguous way. If he died for us, he died for me as well. He gave his life to save me. When you remember that truth, you remember the warmth of God's love. And if you need a little bit of help with this one, look, I recommend that you write this verse that we're going to read and put it in your bathroom so that you remember it every morning. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. God loves you from the beginning of times. He had already planned for you, and he already loved you, and he will always love you. God's love for us is inexhaustible. Listen, there are times when we do foolish things in life and we think that God's going to get tired of loving us, that one day he's going to regret loving us. But that's not the case. Listen, if you do what I tell you to do, it's going to take minutes, only minutes. So, first step, praise God. You say, Lord, I love you with all my heart. And then say, thank you for loving me back. That's step number two. So step number three is treasure. We need to treasure the God of God. And if you need to take time to in the morning to treasure, and not just to read the Bible, because there are people who read the Bible as a requirement. No, it's not about just reading the Bible. It's about treasuring. Treasuring the Word of God to give me guidance during the day. In this world that's really so full of darkness right now, that we need the light of the Word of God. And this idea comes from a very, very famous verse, which is Psalm 119, verse 11, that says, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The word treasure was written originally in Aramaic. It means hiding a treasure, and that's literally a necessity, hiding a treasure and hiding it in your heart. The Bible is the most important way you have at hand to understand what God wants for you. Right now, in the 21st century, before the 21st century, before Christ, he spoke to us through prophets. Now his revelations, he reveals these things in different ways, but the most direct is the Word of God. So think about this. Your perception of the Bible is going to determine what the value of the Bible is for you. If you see it as just another book, then obviously there won't be much difference in your life. But if you take the Bible as it is, as what it is, then you realize that you have in your hands the inspired Word of God, and you will truly see it as a treasure. You need to treasure it now. I know for a fact that there are many people in our church who diligently read the Bible just for the love of reading it. But there are many, many people who read it very little or not at all. And there are many different reasons. There are people that say that they don't have the time. They don't have the time because their children are young, they have to run, they have to work. And I want you to be aware that that you give time to the things you value. It is something that I learned from people. People do what they want, and they don't do what they don't want to do. You have the same time as everyone else, but you decide how to allocate time to do different things. So in the day that you truly treasure the Word of God, you will take the time to read it. Other people don't read the Bible because they tell me that they don't understand it. And sometimes that is the truth. Maybe that they have read a Bible, but a very complicated Bible, perhaps in an old English language, and perhaps you literally do not understand. And there are more conservative versions of the Bible that you even need a dictionary to know what they mean. But there are very, very recent versions, for example, the New Living Translation or the New International Version, that are very easy to read Bibles. So take the time and buy yourself a version that's really easy for you to read. Maybe you don't understand it because you never read a Bible, and you started, for example, in the beginning, in Genesis, for example. You can go through Genesis and Exodus, and it's like reading a story. But if you get to Levitical or Deuteronomy, it becomes a very heavy read. And there are passages in the Old Testament that the truth is they are very difficult to assimilate or to digest. The Old Testament is understood much better in the light of the New Testament. When you understand everything that's happening, the teachings in the New Testament, and the practical illustrations in the lives of the characters who lived in the Old Testament. So if you're new to the Bible, I recommend that you start with the New Testament. And be aware, I'm not telling you to leave the other one behind. One without the other do not work. So start by reading the New Testament. And there are many reading plans that you can start with the New Testament. And once that you have assimilated it, then go to the Old Testament. And if you want a reading plan, please, in the program, my mail is written there. So send me an email and I will send you back a reading plan, okay? Many people start reading their Bible, but they make the mistake of committing to something. That is, you see that there are many reading plans, and there are reading plans for reading the Bible in 1 year. And for example, the Daily Bread tells you that you have to read every day so you can read the Bible in a year. But to do this, you have to read two chapters of the Old Testament and one of the New Testament daily. Then people make the commitment and bravely try to start it. But by February, they're already 15 days behind and they feel guilty and stop reading the Bible. So what we have to do is eliminate the guilt. You have to try to find depth and not distance. So it's not about how much of the Bible you read, but how much of it you have left in your heart. As we saw, the most important thing is to use a trigger, and this is very easy. You just have to choose a place when you're going to read the Bible, take a notebook, a pen, and then you have to be calm. You choose an hour and set an alarm. When the alarm goes off, sit down and read your Bible calmly. And remember, it's not distance what matters. So you start with very little. You read for 3 to 5 minutes and you do it slowly, trying to assimilate what you're reading, and then you will begin to generate an appetite to read and more and more. So each time you will be reading more and more and more. So we need to read, and my prayer is that all of the people in the church come to love the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you why I think this. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." The word for peace here is shalom, and people love to be in harmony with God and in harmony with people. And they save a lot of problems because they have defenses against temptations, and they treasure the word in their hearts. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I love that one because it gives us a pretty clear idea of what the Bible is for. In biblical times, there was no electricity. There were no flashlights. When people had to travel from one town to another at night, what they did was tie themselves to their feet, a couple of oil lamps, one on each foot. So when they took a step, the light of that step gave them the light for the next step. So every time they took a step, they had the light for the next. And that's the case for the Bible. The Bible is giving you light for your path, and that's what it's for. And you treasure it, and you connect with God through it. And it begins to direct your path. It begins to open your eyes, and it helps you decide correctly and decide comfortably. So that we can feel the quality of His love and treasure His word in our hearts. So our fourth and last point is pronounce words of prayer. Prayer is the greatest part of our connection with God. It is when we talk with God. And I think we've lost our capacity for amazement. See, I worked for several years for the Meliá hotel chain, the Spanish chain. I worked as a systems director. And afterwards, I was promoted to the American division. And when I worked there, at the moment that president of the company and the owner was Mr. Gabriel Escarrer, and he had a CEO below him, and below the CEO were the directors at a global level. Then I had the operations directors at the continental level. I had financial directors, and below that structure of people was me. So if I tried to access him, having access to talk with Gabriel was practically a race. And he was such an important person that when he came to visit, for example, at a hotel in the Dominican Republic, people asked me if that was the president of the country or what. So if I had to transmit a message to him, I had to tell my boss and my boss had to tell his boss until he arrived almost at the top. But if someone along the road decided that what I wanted to convey to him was not worthy of his ears, then the message did not reach him. Are you aware of what we're saying here? The King of the Universe, creator of heaven and earth, the creator of hundreds of billions of galaxies, one of which is the Milky Way, that has hundreds and millions of solar systems, one of which is our solar system that has several planets. Among those, our planet has a lot of people, millions of people, including a crumb of sand that was Gabriel Escarrer. Okay? Do you realize that? And that God of the universe is telling you with his words, you can talk to me directly the day you want. Tell him. He's there, waiting for you to communicate with him. And if you pay attention to him, he answers. In other words, he begins to direct you. He begins to speak with you. And just like with the issue of reading, do not concentrate on the amount of time you spend reading or praying. And many people think they have a spiritualometer. So it's not about how many hours you pray. It's about doing things well. It's about focusing and connecting deeply with God. Your prayers do not have to be very long prayers. In other words, it has to be focused on what you need to say and what you need to connect deeply with God, and understanding and expressing what you think about God and what God says about you. So, for example, we have the prayer that our Father taught us, our Lord's Prayer. Our Lord's Prayer is a very short prayer, but it's very, very complete. One day we will go through the series again, and we will analyze it, our Lord's Prayer, because it is a prayer that covers everything you need to communicate with our Father in heaven. And even the longest prayers recorded in the Bible are prayers that you can read in 2 minutes, maximum 3. So what we have to do with all of these things is not to emphasize in the duration, but in the depth. You need to connect. In those moments, in the most intimate communion with God, the most amazing things happen, generally through prayer and meditation of His Word. And this reminds me of how it is with my wife, Karina. See, I have an attention deficit like you cannot imagine. And I later found out that Mark and I share it. So we have both attention deficit. So it must be something pastoral. When I am with Karina, I had to make myself aware that I am in her presence. Because if she's speaking and I am not listening to her, I know that I may be thinking and seeing other things. Then in order to become aware that I am in her presence, I have to do that. And the exact same thing happens with God. He is there. So we all have that kind of attention deficit because we're not paying attention to him at all times. And there he is. Now, I am going to confess a couple of things. For many years, I knew more about prayer than what I experienced in my prayer. Through the discipleship I received, I learned many things about prayer and even taught things about prayer. But the truth was, I felt guilty. And I felt guilty because I read, for example, in the lives of other pastors that they said in their biographies that they got in a special closet and spent hours praying. And I said, no, that's not me. I don't know. I'm wrong. But then I understood that it's not about a quota, but about really connecting deeply with God. And then things started to change. I began to experience a real relationship with Him like I'd never had experienced before. Suddenly my prayers started to be more real because I was hungry to connect with Him out of love, to be with Him and in His presence and not out of guilt. And that's when things really started to change for me. I also need to confess to you, there have been moments during this pandemic, especially at the beginning of it, when it started to take a lot of work for me to connect with God. And one of those things that affected me was a change in the routine that we suffered. I had very well done routines, and suddenly during the pandemic broke all of my routines, and I realized that somehow this was an attack from the enemy. And it was totally disconnecting me with God, and I was blaming him for things that had nothing to do with more than my lack of discipline. So the routines change, but the connection with God is important. Remember that the enemy's job is to try to separate you from the connection with God. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, your salvation is assured, and he cannot make you lose your salvation. What the enemy can achieve is that you do not live for your purpose, that God's light will not be reflected in your face, and that you don't win more people for his kingdom. And that what he's trying to do is separating from God and connecting with him. So just going back to those basic things started to deepen my connection with him again. That's why I thought of this series for us. If this is happening to me, it must be happening to other people. The truth is that my prayers are not very long. I see those prayers as the beginning of a conversation that I'm going to have with God, and that they're going to last all day. So it's really a sense of deep connection, what you're doing in that prayer. And I realized in that moment that you need to start activating your prayer life. And at that time, your spiritual life improves. You begin to feel differently in the relationship that you have with God. In other words, being in deep communion with God truly allows God to begin to direct you, to begin to open your eyes, to give you peace, so you don't pressure yourself for things. Look, this week for me has been a very, very complicated week. Karina's traveling, which means that there are things that she does normally, and now I have to do those. But apart from what we're working on, we're preparing a house for Marco, who's living with us and needs to have his own space. So that kind of thing is very emotionally exhausting. And came a time this week when I was suffocating. I couldn't breathe well. And I started questioning, how can I do all these things? And I fell to my knees. And I started to pray. Lord, I told him, I need your strength. I need your direction. I don't know how to do this all by myself. And his answer was very clear. Marco, he told me, one thing at a time. You're trying to do everything. So what's next? Don't worry. And you don't know what kind of peace took over me. And I said, thank you, Lord. And from that time on, I'm going to just take the next step and the next step, and we're going to take that next step together. And I put myself in your hands, and please soften the heart of Marco and prepare mine and strengthen me and give me direction. And just realizing this makes me know that I am connected with him, and this gives me a great peace and generates a cycle. So why do I connect with him? Because he gives me more peace, 100 more things work the way I want, the more and more I want to return then with him, and every time he works more and more with me, and the stronger he makes me as well. So look at what 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. John is saying, ask him according to his will. I want to do your will, Lord. Show me the way on how to do these things. And he's listening to you. And for example, Matthew 7, verse 9-11, say, would any of you give your hungry child a stone if the child asks for some bread? Would you give your child a snake if the child asks for a fish? As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give you good things to the people who ask. So there it is. God loves you with all of his heart. And what he needs is for you to go to him. There are many people who are very skeptical of prayer and do not say anything, or they say, sure, these are coincidences. Then it's amazing how many coincidences happen when you start praying. And this is one of the things that I really admire about God. And it's depressing if you think about it. Every time I say that I admire him, then it means that I was really not expecting what he does for me. So again, this is my advice for you. Read the book of Psalms. And these are prayers. And these are prayers. And when you pray these Psalms, after a while, you will no longer need any help and you will be able to talk to him perfectly. Start with these four actions. You will see that it is something that is really, really very simple, but requires discipline. So start. Do you know how many Christians I know that go through life without power? They are not connected to the power of God. They feel totally empty. They feel depressed. They are angry about things when they have the things within reach. You need to understand that being in his presence is like enjoying a feast. Then you will want to be in his presence all of the time. It is really sad how many people settle for junk food instead of the banquet. Do you know that what it means to be in the presence of God? We need to feed ourselves with his word every single day. Notice what the Bible promises when we adopt these habits. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's a promise of the Bible, and it's really my prayer for all of us. Starting tomorrow morning, before getting out of your bed, first leave your house and take time to listen to the whisper of God in God's love in your ears, how much he loves you, and how much he wants to lead you. It's just a matter of going there. Maybe you've been disconnected these last few months, and I would love for this to be the day that you turn to him and say, thanks for this day. I have resumed my spiritual walk. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words, for these things that you have left written precisely to teach us how to connect with you. I think many of us here need to apologize for the number of days that we've started without even giving you a thought. I know in a personal way, Lord, how tiring it is to live disconnected from you. It is exhausting, it is stressful, and it is depressing. Lord, you know my heart. You know the heart of each of the persons that are here. We want to be connected with you, Father. We want to be connected to you, you who are the source of power, the source of light. This will allow us to feel and receive your guidance, to feel loved, to feel powerful, no matter how many circumstances we're facing. I ask you, Lord, that all of the people in this room, in this very moment, and those who are listening to us at a distance, may we truly feel your presence in us, feel the warmth of your love. Let us be aware that you are there and that we need to begin to communicate deeply with you. Guide us, Father. We need you. We ask you all of these things, Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.